Today is a great day, and I want you to please turn to our scripture text in the book of Numbers, Old Testament book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The fourth book of the Old Testament is the very front of the Bible, as we shall look into what God's Word has for us. For while we celebrate this great day, I want to propose that the Spirit of God will help us to think and look back what God has done for His people Israel in the days gone by thousands of years ago. Look back. What has God done for us and for you? Then pause and think, and then look forward. There are exciting, challenging days ahead of us. Are you ready for it? Numbers chapter 14. To give you the background of what we are going to read, here is the hosts of Israel, God's people delivered out of bondage, now poised at the border of the land of promise, their destination. And God sent Moses to send 12 spies, go and survey the land. This they did. 40 days they roamed the land of promise, which is Israel today, the land. When they came back, they brought amazing reports. Just one cluster of grapes they could not carry by one person, but two people. How heavy was that cluster? Must be at least 20, 30 kilograms. Amazing. But this was what God promised them, a land of milk and honey. Then they gave their reports. The 12 spies brought back the report. 10 of them says, "Hey, we saw those people, giants, and we appeared like grasshoppers." 10 of them looked to themselves. And this was the report that brought immense suffering and setback to the people. 2 spies brought a different report. Joshua and Caleb says, "The Lord is with us. Fear not. Those people have no defenses. Let us go in. God will surely give us this land." However, the 10 prevailed. Now this is the background. Please understand. We're going to read about what is going to happen. When there is dissension, faithlessness, and doubting God, forgetting what God has done, there is great trouble and calamity come on the whole army of God on that night. Now we shall read. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed unto them," pause and think. It was a fateful night. 12 spies gave the report, but the congregation chose to believe the 10 faithless spies. They had forgotten all that God had done for them. This is something which I want to impress on all of us here today. Never forget what God has done in your life. Never forget as a church what God has done to found this church. 55 years ago, God did it. All we did was trust and obey and advance for Him. Those people that night listened only to the 10 faithless spies, and they wept And when the two says, let's go, go in, God will help us. What did they do? The congregation's you, they will stone you. How sad. Dear friends, I pray that God will raise just two men of faith. Nay, not two, but more men of faith. All these young people you saw line up here today singing. Better than singing is doing and going. This is the challenge. Listen not to those who always look at themselves and forget God. They forgot all the things that God had done that all of them had witnessed, every one of them. They chose to forget. That is the problem today. When anyone forgets God, there is trouble. For in God is our refuge and our strength. For that they paid dearly. Dearly the price they paid. Let's read verse 12. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Who are them? Those faithless Israelites, God's own people. Can you imagine how God was provoked and angry with His own people? And this is what He said. And I will make of you, who is you? Thee, Moses. God said to Moses, these people are faithless. They provoke me. I'm sick of them. I'll just wipe them all out and make of you a new group of people out of who? Moses. Verse 13, Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them, by daytime in the pillar of cloud, at night time by the pillar of fire. Verse 15. Now, if you shall kill all these people that you have saved out of Egypt as one man, then all the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will say, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Please pause and think of this. Moses' reasoning. Moses says, Lord, why should you do it? Of course, this is a kind of a conversation and a debate between God and Moses. How wonderful, don't you think so? You know, of all men, God says, Moses is one I speak face to face, mouth to mouth. Amazing man. And he is the most meekest of all men. But on that occasion, Moses was so disappointed, so disgusted with his own people. He says, Lord, these are useless people, and God was going to punish them. But then Moses pleaded for them. Now verse 17, now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. Notice this. Moses pleaded with God for him to manifest his power. Power not to destroy his people, but power to manifest, in verse 18, long-suffering. You need God's power to learn long-suffering and exhibit thy great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression of whom? Thy people. Your people who have provoked you to say you will destroy them. Lord, please manifest your great power to forgive them, to overlook their iniquities, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Verse 19 again, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy and thy power to forgive them. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. It is amazing What great unbelief lurks in the hearts of men. Do you agree to this? Do you think you're better? Oh, my friends, the heart is wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. So here are these people, and Moses pleads for his people. What a great leader of men is Moses, that he is always on the side of God, for the glory of God, for the cause of the kingdom of God. Verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Oh, my friends, please understand what a great ministry Moses had, not just leading the people 40 years to come, leading them out of Egypt, but pleading for them. So much more important, isn't it? Leading is one thing. Pleading is another thing. To beg God to have mercy, please, Lord, have mercy. These are your people. Sinful, no doubt, but thou art great and powerful. Please forgive them. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The Lord says so. Yes, under all conditions, under any conditions, God will not give his glory to another. No man should get glory. Not even the greatest, not even Moses. Moses didn't say, yes, Lord, that's right. Start a family from me, and he gets the glory. No, dear friends, Moses was the meekest of all men, and only God must get the glory, I say, in this church. Likewise, let us serve the Lord as little nobodies. No matter what position you hold, let us understand before Lord Jesus, we are nobodies. Let us acknowledge Him. And on this great anniversary day, to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Never forget, as the people of Israel chose to forget that night. Forget what? Forget the 10 wonderful miracles of the plagues. Forget the night of the Passover. Forget the Red Sea crossing. Forget the manna every day they were eating. The water out of rock. And the pillar of fire at night, and the pillar of cloud by day. God was doing it with them every day. They saw it. They chose to ignore it. I said, let us not. Pray God that all of us will have eyes of faith, hearts of obedience. Serving the Lord is not for today. Serving the Lord is forever, for eternity, for the things ahead, for the challenges that arise that lie ahead of us. So let us read on, verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory, says the Lord, my miracles I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, now have tempted me these 10 times. What does God mean by tempted me? How do you interpret this word? Read again, verse 22. The Lord is saying, you know, it may apply to you or to me. What does God say? Because all these men which have seen my glory, true, absolutely true. God puts the finger on the diagnosis exactly as it is. These people who are crying tonight, saying, why did you take us out of Egypt? We better go back to Egypt. It's better we die in Egypt, better to die in the wilderness than to go into the promised land and face those giants. And God was provoked. Now, read again verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, have tempted me now. I said, please, dear friends, do not tempt God. You say, how can I tempt God? Can anybody tempt God? Of course not. How can you tempt God? God is so powerful, holy, and mighty. Now we must see a different interpretation to the word tempt. Let me give you the interpretation. A simple one is, doubt God. Why should these people, who have seen all these things I've done for them, now because of the report of 10 faithless spies, doubt me. What did Caleb and Joshua say? Let's go in now. God will help us. They will be nothing. They'll be like bread for us. What do you mean by bread for us? We can just eat them up. Demolish them. Their defenses are all gone. Our God is able. But these people says, no, we weep through the night and mourn and say, we go back to Egypt. Better to die there. How terrible. So God says, these have tempted me, doubted me. What other word can you think of? Despise me. They know all I have done. Even now I'm helping them. Even now as they were weeping and rebelling, there was that fiery pillar. True? Could they see it? Absolutely. They saw it. Did they believe it? This kind of rebellion is deadly, I say, dear friends. We who have received God's goodness day by day, year by year, 26 years, let us never forget. God is with us, blessing us. You say, well, I don't see any cloudy pillar. You don't. If God will take away all the clouds and the water vapor, we'll all be burned to death in one moment. You know that. God is here with us, blessing us in many, many ways. So let us not tempt Him. Meaning to say, don't doubt Him. Meaning to say, don't despise Him. For when you do not believe the God who has been so kind to you, you are despising Him. And finally, another word that can be substituted for the word tempted is provoke. You agree? Oh yes, when you doubt God, tempt Him, despise Him, you really provoke God. Do not provoke God on this 26th anniversary. Let us all examine ourselves, whoever you are. So good to have younger people in our church, you know. Yeah, people who come visiting the church say, yeah, our church is full of young people. I say, yes, plenty of young people, also plenty of old people now. Whoever we are, at whatever age you are, let us believe in our God, trust in Him, thank Him for mercies past, and go on for Him, trusting that He will yet bless us in the future. Do not tempt God, therefore, do not. Verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto them, unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. God is decisive, and God is just and holy in all His works and His words. What did God say here now? These people who tempt me have seen all that I've done for them and choose not to believe me. None of them will see the land. Why? You read on. All those aged 20 and above will all die in the wilderness and they'll never enter the promised land except two people. Only two. Can you imagine that kind of sentence? All those aged 20 and above will all perished in the wilderness, and how many people was that? Estimated at least 500,000, half a million. Except two people. I said, you pray God, Lord, may I be one of the two. Can you pray that? Lord, help me not to tempt you. Help me not to doubt you. Help me not to despise you. Or to provoke you in any way, then you will belong to one of the two. Who are they? Caleb and Joshua. Only two. I say, thank God there was at least Caleb and Joshua. That God blessed them and allowed them to enter the promised land. And of course, all the rest who entered the promised land were aged under 20. God did not wipe the whole lot out, you know. All those children and those to be born, they entered the promised land. Now, what a wonderful story it is, isn't it? as we think on these things on this anniversary day, it has tremendous lessons for us. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, now this is the key verse, and this is your golden text for today. This is a verse you must take home, pray over it, and say, Lord, make me your servant Caleb, like your servant Caleb. Now let's see what it's all about. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, he does not go with the majority. He doesn't say, hey, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And then say, hey, most people think that way. I think that way. Don't be that kind of a Christian. You ask God, what is your way? Caleb looked to the Lord and he says, we go in. God bless him. He went in. Joshua went in. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit, please pray God to give you that spirit of Caleb, that fearless spirit that does not look to man, does not look to self. Please don't look at yourself and say, I'm so useless. Of course you are useless, I am useless, we all are useless. But when God's spirit comes on you, you are useful. So look to him. Continue to read now, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. What a wonderful blessing it is, isn't it? You want to be a Caleb, dear friends? Pray. Do you know this? We have this confidence that whatsoever we ask, according to his will, he heareth us. Why not? Why can't God raise many more Joshuas and Calebs from among us? Don't have that kind of doubting spirit, but pray for the spirit of Caleb. The spirit that looks to God and looks on what he has done for us and say, what has he done? I tell you, dear friends, 55 years ago, you may say God led us out of our Egypt and implanted the seed of the Bible Presbyterian Church. I call it the Bible Faithful Church. Yes. That is our foundation, the Word of God. 55 years ago, God implanted in Prinsep Street. 1950. After that, 1973, we came out. And that one move that God enabled us to do has by today grown into a great witness around the world. You know what the Lord Jesus says? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The tiniest of all seeds, just a little speck of a seed. That is the kingdom of God. 1950. I always remember my brother say, he's Timothy Toe. God's kingdom is a mustard seed, but we must go forth to sow it. And we did. 1973, we left Life Church again with the same principle. Sow the seed of God and see what will happen. You know what? Looking back, we say, thank God we ever left Life Church. Not of our own volition, but God leading. Even as the God who led Moses, and Moses led the tribes of Israel through the Red Sea. We cross our Red Sea. Do you know that God has blessed us in ways we cannot measure? When we built Jurong, God saved us $5 million. We did not have to buy the land. Is that a miracle? Can God do miracles? When we came here 5 years after Jurong, God saved us $10 million. We did not have to buy this land. 50,000 square feet of land. You calculate how many dollars a square foot? It is between 200 and 500 and 400. All right. This is not commercial. This is not in the city center. In the city center, you pay maybe 2,000 a square foot. So call this 200 times 50,000. We have got 49,000 plus, you know. We did not have to pay 1 cent. Is that crossing the Red Sea for us? Ask yourself how to raise that money when we came here and God did it for us. Took us through the Red Sea, implanted us here today. God has enabled us to establish this witness. You know, when we first started to plant our church in Jurong, people advised me, hey, you must convert to NIV. You carry that KJV. Nobody wants to read that anymore. You must convert to New Worship. Your old-fashioned stuff is so boring. You die, you know. I said, thank you very much for your advice. You want us to convert? We were converted long ago. 1950, we were converted. Converted to the Word of God, as it is in King James Bible, the only Bible that answers to our infallible, inerrant Word of God is this Bible. So you want us to convert to what? NIV. No, no flag, no thanks. New Worship. People won't come, you know. I said, never mind. We're not here to do people's bidding. We're here to do God's bidding. God's kingdom grows when we are faithful. I say, please pray to that today. God, please raise for us more Calebs. Who will be? More Joshuas. Who will be? Faithful, obedient, and press on with the great work that has been given to us, ahead of us. Now listen. Here is the reward for faithlessness. If there is anyone here who wants to join the faithless crowd, who likes to join the majority, say, I like to be with the 10, not with the 2. Here is a warning. Read on, please. The Lord says, as truly as I live, in verse 28, alright, this is God's warning word. As long as I live, as truly as I live, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. What does God mean here? God says, look, you people, listen. You all wept and said, it's better we die than to go into the promised land. Now God says, you will have what you wish. Did you all say you would prefer to die? Now you die. Now read. Verse 29. Exactly as they mourn and wish, God says, you can have it. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. All that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Please, dear friends, make this your prayer. Pray what? Lord, please help me to be a contented, God-fearing person and never, never to murmur against God. It is not wise, it is not profitable for anyone under any circumstance to murmur against God, for God is no man's debtor. God is faithful and fair and good to all men, without exception. True? Absolutely true. So do not provoke God. Never murmur against God. Never find fault with God. Verse 30. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land. Since you don't want to come, you will not come. God is just. He never puts things that people do not deserve. God does not punish beyond what people deserve. And most of the time, God punishes less than we deserve. How wonderful is our God. Now read on, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except for what? God is merciful and just. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Joshua, son of Nun, but your little ones, which are not guilty, because they didn't murmur and cry and weep and say, we want to go back, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, then will I bring in. They shall know the land which ye have despised. Oh, my friends, don't despise God's land. God has a wonderful land kept for all of us here. Let's love it. Work for it. Press on towards it. There is great reward for all who will persevere, verse 32. Now comes the sentence. As for you, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. Pray God that it will not happen to anyone here because of murmuring and unbelief. Verse 33. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, your rebellion, your sins will cause your children, they will not go free, but at least they will see the promised land. But before then, 40 years of wilderness wandering until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Right? First sentence is, all you aged 20 and above who have murmured and wept and rebelled me this night and despised me, you will all die and not see the promised land. That is the first. Number two, because of your murmuring, all those who will eventually go in, your children, they will suffer 40 years in the wilderness wandering. This is a sentence. Read on. After the number of days, verse 34, in which ye searched the land, even 40 days each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities 40 years for 40 days that you searched the land. They went to the land 40 days. Now the rest will wander in the wilderness 40 years. What a sentence. Is God unfair? Oh, my friends, verse 36. And the man which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men, 10 men, that did bring up evil report upon the land, that night, that very night, died by a plague. God is great, and God is just, God is holy, to manifest His power that night. All those 10 dissenters, murmurers, rebellion against God, God took them by a plague that night. What shall we say to all these things, dear friends? 26 good years, we are going to conclude with a conclusion. It is so good today to be here. So good to have the sanctuary filled. Is that good? Yes. It's good you are here in peace. But I tell you, every time we increase in numbers, at session meetings, I always raise the warning. Every time you have increase in numbers, you increase in problems. True? Absolutely. Proof! Israel in the wilderness. We are like Israel. We're no better. Praise God, He keeps us on track, on course. Problems there will be. But I say, please trust God for His solution to our problems. We need the spirit of Moses, the meekest of all men, humble, always seeking the Lord for His leading and guidance and advice. We need men like Moses. We need men like Joshua, who will follow in the footsteps of Moses. I cannot be here forever, you know. And my prayer is this, Lord, as long as you have worked for me, keep me well. True? You pray that also. And as long as that work is earmarked for me to do, help me to do it. But give me the grace and the strength to do it. And the other prayer, of course, is, Lord, as soon as that work is done, take me home. That's good enough. Like Moses, right? But you must pray. Pray for more Calebs, more Joshuas, who will say, enter the land. We have great land to enter. Do you know what? Ever since we left Life Church 1973 till now, the Lord has given us a place of worship in 10 major cities in the world. 10. Do you know that? Before that, nothing. Kosong, nothing. Has the Lord done great things for us? Absolutely. Look back and say, thank you, Lord. Look forward and say, what more can the Lord do? It all depends on you. It all depends on you. I believe my days of doing those things is over. No longer can I just go round and round and round the world all the time. There must be others. Pray for Calebs. I'm so happy there are some younger people now responding to the call. 26 years. Is there so much more to do? I say, look, dear friends, we have just begun. There is the whole world at your feet for you to conquer. The days of reaping and sowing are beckoning. Who will go in? I say, pray. The Lord says, harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. That's what He gives the solution. What is the solution? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to thrust men into the harvest. You and I are the laborers together with God, but nothing will happen until you pray. I cannot be alone to do the work or pray alone. I beseech you, brethren, pray with me. Pray that the Lord will give us all a vision. Pray that we will see Jesus coming soon in the clouds of heaven according to His promise. This is not fantasy, but this is prophecy. And the Lord says, I come quickly. My reward is with me. What do you do? Pray. Pray. Remember the Lord says, harvest plenteous, laborers few. Pray. You pray, I pray. Will God not send more laborers? Answer is, absolutely. You say, why hasn't God sent more laborers? You know the answer? I tell you the answer. Because you didn't pray. Yes, not enough people pray. If you all pray earnestly and say, Lord, the harvest is indeed plenteous. Laborers are so few. Please send more laborers. God will answer that prayer. You believe so? Oh, my friends, 26 years behind tells us that 26 years may not be before, may not be. Unlikely to have 26 more years before the Lord returns. But then, beyond that is 26 millenniums and more millenniums after that, eternity waiting for us. That is what we're working for. That is what we shall conquer. Not just for a few years, but for eternity. Let's work hard. Let's work hard. Pray hard. And God will bless. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes to see the harvest fields and to hear the voice of the Savior says, say not there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. For I say unto you, look on the fields, they are white already to harvest. O Lord, raise up praying men and women, even as those who have already gone overseas into various mission fields. Raise up more earnest and honest men and women who will say, here am I, Lord, send me. O Lord, help us all to be men and women of prayer, praying that the Lord of the harvest will have mercy upon us. Here in Pandan, that we will not be contented with our salvation, but we will be provoked unto love and to good works. Lord, hear our prayer. May Thy great name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.